I want to start today's message off with some humor. We can use some humor right now to lift us up because we feel the weight of everything that's going on around us. So we're going to go ahead see a video here in a moment. But how many of you are old enough? This is kind of old enough to remember the music from the Cowsills in 1969. Yeah, there you go. The Cowsills in 1969. And did you know that the Cowsills, their 9-member family, were actually the inspiration for developing the series The Partridge Family? Yes, so now we know that. Absolutely. So I have a video for you to watch, and it's called Hair Bicycle Ride.
Okay. All right, so you have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
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 But also scripture, right? Because we're talking about, you know, hair. But isn't it amazing that God, who created heaven and earth and everything that there is, pays attention to your hair and my hair every day, knowing exactly the count of hair that we have on our head, right? And so we just praise God for that. It doesn't matter what kind of hair you have or don't have, right? So praise God for that. I was really pleased with the officers that were willing to do that. And the one guy, Officer Diaz, he's the bigger guy. He goes. He's up there and he's talking to me about why he's pulling me over, because obviously I wasn't pulled over, right? And he just threw in the, yeah, cars are going through the stop sign, they're not stopping, and bikes are too, and you know, that type of thing. So he really stepped up to the plate. He really enjoyed it, and both officers did. And he said that anytime you guys want to do something like that, please let us know. So that was fun. So yes. Yes, encouraging us, absolutely. So God cares for us, absolutely, without a doubt. We already know that, but it's good to be reminded about that. And so we should not be afraid of the times. It's kind of Damaris was saying in her testimony, you know, God keeps me here, or whether I go there, I live for him there, or I live for him there. You know, it's okay, but God cares for each one of us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this morning, for the wonderful worship, for the testimony of Damaris and your grace on her, for just having a little fun with a hairy video. And I pray, Father, please, that you help us to just remember that you are intently focused on us, and that we are joy to you because of you in our lives. And all people were created in your image and for your glory. And we just thank you so much for your love for each and every person that ever has been or is or will be. For we ask that you're blessed now, that you're blessed the message, and may each one receive what you have for them to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So God does care for us. And as I said in the video, he knows every number of your hair on your head. So how many hairs do you lose a day? And paying attention to that, right? We couldn't do that, not very well at all. But we shouldn't fear. And that's what we're seeing. And some people are very, very afraid. And that's where they are at. And wherever a person is at, I mean, that's what we have to respect, where people are in these times, as they should respect where we are in these times. And so I want us to read Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 real quickly. And it says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So as you know, and as I've already stated, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and people are afraid for many different reasons. And people that are lost might even be asking the question, does God even exist? Is God paying attention? Does God even care? Does he see what's going on? Does God see the rioting? Does he see the murders? Does he see the racism? Does he see COVID-19 cases? Does he see the economic problems? And we could probably add to that list the things. But of course, God is on his throne. He's fully aware of all that's going on. And whether we understand it or not, he's allowed these things to go on as well. And so we are looking to him to take care of us. And Jesus knows that we face fears. Jesus knew that the disciples faced some fears, but he reminded his disciples in this passage that he was aware of everything that was going on in their lives. And again, without being redundant, but he was aware of every hair on their head. And so for me in this message, even though it sounds kind of silly, it's still the written word of God that God knows the number of hairs on your head. So to walk away with saying God is so intently paying attention to us as individuals and what we're going through is comforting. It's encouraging. And we know it, but it's good to be reminded. The phrase, quote, be afraid, be very afraid, is a tagline from a 1968 horror film, The Fly. Anybody see that before, The Fly? I remember the guy walking out of the chamber after he was converted, they'd say. And so there is fear in human emotion through different avenues. We know that. People are afraid of flying, lest the plane falls, right, or crashes, right? They're afraid of falling from heights, lest they drop to their death, or jumping off a cliff. Or they're afraid of diving, or car accidents, or dogs, or sharks. I'm mostly afraid of sharks, roller coasters, and on and on. We can acknowledge that people are afraid of a lot of things, but the chances or odds of these things happening are very, very low. For example, and I'm serious here, you are more likely to be killed by your spouse than by a shark. There's one in 135,000 people are killed by their spouse, and 1 in 300 million are killed by a shark. So, okay, and you're less likely to fall from a scary height than you have a chance of your identity being stolen. There's a 1 in 65,000 chance that people will fall from a scary height, and there is a 1 in 200 chance that people will have their identity stolen. Wow. So we are each fearful of different things, aren't we? Right? And Jesus recognized that the disciples had struggled with fear just like we do. So we see fear. But what we do with fear, how we allow fear to affect us, and what fear that we're actually experiencing is important to identify. So I want to go back to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. See, there's an identification of what's important to fear and what's not. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. God is saying to the disciples, people need to be afraid of dying without Christ in their heart, without faith in God, without a right relationship with God. And again, I can't reiterate it enough that the Old Testament saints put their faith in the coming Messiah, and you and I put our faith in the Messiah that's already come. And then there are those that believed in Jesus when he walked on the face of the earth. And we know that there are those that will still receive Christ as their Savior. But God is saying right here and right now, he said, look, don't be afraid of the things that can happen to you. What you need to be afraid of is dying without me and going to hell. Point blank. That's would you say that's a valid point to be afraid of that? Yeah, absolutely. And is that not something that we should be concerned about for people that are lost? Obviously, we should be caring for the lost and helping them to understand that, hey, you know what? There's a bigger thing at stake here. It's your salvation. And if you know you have the Lord in your heart, you can have security and you can have peace of mind because you know God lives in your heart. So Jesus wants us to have a proper fear. In other words, we are to fear God first. And we're not to be fearing man or problems or situations. That's easy said, not easy done. We have things drop in our lives instantaneously that will knock us off our feet, that will pull the carpet from under our feet, that will knock us down. We have things that are unexpected that cause almost an instant fear. But when that happens as believers, what are we going to do? We're to shift that fear to the throne of grace, to God. We're to look to God, our Heavenly Father, and say, God, I'm terrified right now. Like Damaris was when her brother said, you've got COVID-19. I'm terrified right now, right? But you go to God, you turn to God, you rely on God, you trust on God, you talk to God, you reflect on God's word, his scripture, you hold on to the truth that he's given us. And guess what? Your fear begins to diminish because our focus is properly focused upon God and not the circumstance that we're facing. But that's an ongoing endeavor. Because until we're through the trauma or through the situation that we're going through, we're to continually hold on to the hand of God to walk us through that fearful event. But we're always to hold on to the hand of God. We're always to hold on to him and walk through life every day, being close to him, meditating on his word, trusting in him, holding on to the truth of what he's already told us to do. And so Jesus wants us to have that proper fear, okay? Our spiritual well-being should be our first concern. I know every one of you in here, and to my knowledge, all of you, maybe one or I don't know, but to my knowledge, you're saved, okay? And so you have the reassurance of knowing that you have God to rely on. But there are people that don't have that reassurance. And I want people to know that are listening to this message on the internet or whatever, the gospel message. Because reality, it says right here in Romans 8:1, it says something that's very startling, very revealing, if you will. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You and I as believers are no longer condemned. The startling aspect is that the person that's hearing this message that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is in a condemned status in God's eyes because of their sin. They're already condemned. They're already at risk of dying and going to hell. Like Jesus told the disciples, fear him who judges you. Right? And so if we're right with God, then we're no longer condemned and we don't have to be afraid when we die that we're going to go to hell or God's judgment or God's punishment on us. But we know that through faith in Jesus Christ that we will go to heaven. So if you've never received Christ as your Savior, as I said, those that are listening to this outside of this service here in the sanctuary, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son that the Father sent to die on the cross to take the punishment that was deserved to you and I upon himself. And he died on that cross and he was buried and on the third day he rose from the dead and he's alive today in heaven. And if you acknowledge that before God and you say, God, will you please forgive me of my sin? And this is important. And you say, God, I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn around. I want to follow you. And then ask him to come live in your heart to be your Savior. He'll forgive you of your sin. You'll learn what it means to walk a new life in Christ. And you'll have eternal life because of your faith in Jesus. So in your own words, believe that God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. That he was buried, that he rose from the dead, that he's alive today in heaven. And if you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you repent of your ways and you choose to follow him, he will come into your heart and he will save you. And you can pray a prayer similar to that thinking to receive him into your heart. And I hope you do. I'd also like to ask that if you do, that you let us know that you did that. That we could be encouraged and that I can share that with our church. That people did hear this and did receive Christ as their Savior. So Jesus doesn't want us to fear people and what they can do or what they do to us, because God cares for us and loves us, and we are secure in him. Let's look at verses 6 and 7 again real quickly. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. If he pays attention to little birds, he cares for us much more. You and I are created in the image of God. You and I are the crowning creation of Jesus. In other words, everything that Jesus created, we are the crowning glory of that which he created, because you and I are created in his image. You might look at it another way, another sense of imagery, that we are the crowning jewels in the crown of God. That as he wears his crown, that the jewels that are in it, the ones that are most predominant, are the ones that reflect us in his glory, because he created us. And we have that assurance. And so I don't apologize for it, but I guess it sounds kind of sentimental, but it's true. Even this morning, I saw a little sparrow outside. And even times past, I've seen birds flying around, especially the sparrows, because of this context of Scripture, that I'm saying God knows that bird, provides for that bird, and knows when that bird falls to the ground dead. He's aware of everything he's created. And we're far, far, far beyond comprehension, far more important than the birds that fall to the ground. And it's encouraging to me. So when you see birds out there, even those little sparrows, say, God, thank you for knowing that bird, creating it, but thank you for reminding me that I'm far more important, that I am the crowning of your creation. So, as I said before, God knows the number of hairs on our head, and I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but I want to let you know. Did you know that the average person has 120,000 hairs? But each person is different, and God knows our exact number. 120,000 hairs. We couldn't, as parents, we wouldn't grab, pull our child up and say, hey, Lily, come up here and have your dad come up and just count each hair every day. And then be aware of the number of hairs that fall out of your head through the day and know still the exact amount of hair on your head. That's what God does. Now, he doesn't pick through your hair, but he knows exactly how many hairs are on our head. Praise God for that. That's a reflection of God's amazing love for you and I, for all people. He cares for all of us. Most fear, though, is destructive. We have a healthy, godly fear in our relationship with God and the things that he would have us to look at with a right attitude. But most fear is destructive. Some fear is helpful, and it may protect us. Destructive fear does something different. Destructive fear paralyzes us. In this time of COVID-19, time of rioting in the streets, time of economic loss, you know the list. Are people paralyzed with fear? Would you be surprised to find people paralyzed in fear? No. In fact, we would expect to. People are paralyzed in fear, but that's a destructive fear. That's a fear that we should not be embracing, and encouraging others not to embrace paralyzing fear. History is filled with men and women who said no to destructive fear, okay? And they changed the world. Satan is using much destructive fear and attempts to stop Christians and God's people from going to church, or even fighting against the church. But you and I know, I was walking around and I'll be real honest with you, I was mad. I was mad about the restriction of God's church, the how it interfered with the ministry of God's church. I was just flat out mad. But you know what? I realize that hell won't prevail against God's church. Jesus promised that. I realize that God's church is just as alive because we're God's people. It's the body of Christ that makes up the church. I realize that in times past, even in the first century church, that they faced tremendous challenges. We're even told not to preach the gospel, lest they be killed, right? And they faced tremendous challenges, but they found ways to be faithful to the Great Commission. They found ways to be creative and to stand for God. And that's the thing, those are the things we need to remember. Nothing will prevail against God's church. We are the church, and God will continue to do his work, even if he reshapes it a little or a lot, whatever the case might be. But Satan is working to defeat the church, and he's pretty stupid for thinking that he can. Because God is God, and God has secured the church and his people. He wants to stop us in our tracks. He wants to keep us from witnessing and caring and loving others and going out into the world and serving or just worshiping God in church. He wants to stop that. We see that. He wants to stop people from worshiping him even in church. If the Apostle Paul feared the religious leaders, the jail time, the beatings, the shipwrecks, etc., then what would happen? Then many churches would not have been started in that first century after Christ died and rose from the grave, right? We wouldn't have many of the teachings, theoretically, if men of God who were called of God, like the apostles, were commissioned to present the truth that they had been taught by the Lord himself to go out. If they were afraid to do so, what effect would that have on the world we live in? Imagine if Rosa Parks never took her stand on that bus so many years ago. What would be, how things would not have changed. We always need to seek God and let him guide us and go out into this world. And we need to recognize that in this world there is instability, volatility, and problems. We know that, can't escape that, but we should not allow fear of those things to paralyze us and keep us from doing the Great Commission and what God has called us to do. Our goal is to let God dominate our lives. Our goal is not to allow fear, obviously, to control us. Our goal is to allow God to dominate our lives and demonstrate his love, peace, and joy. When I say God dominating our lives, what I'm saying is this. We want God to have full lordship over our lives. We want God to have the freedom to do what he wants to in our lives for his glory and for his kingdom work. We want God to keep us on focus and on track to be his people as he's called and expects us to be. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment." See, that paralyzing fear is torment. But to have a fear of showing that respect, that honor, or, you know, when we talk about fearing God, we water it down and we say, well, that just means respect for God. I have to differ with that, because we should fear God when we know that we're not walking with God, because he disciplines his children, right? And so we need to fear God, but we need to show him that respect and honor as well. So it's by the love of God that lives in our hearts, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit that's in us, that we're able to cast out fear. It's by the very love and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can trust God for who he is, and that we can stand strong with confidence and not allow fear to hold us back. I mean, there is a time through all of this, I kept saying, I'm mad because of the attack on the church. I'm frustrated because I don't know what to do. My hands are tied behind my back. What's going to happen? The men's group, I've shared with them my frustrations and asked for prayer about that. But I just need to realize, relax. I have a thing on the side of my, on my table next to my chair in the house, and it's in quotes, because as I was walking in prayer about something a few years ago that was really troubling to me, God said, relax, or take care of it. I wrote it down, put it in quotes, and taped it to my table next to my chair. So whenever I'm thinking about something that's causing me to fear or have anxiety, I go, I'll look over and it'll catch my eye. Relax. Just relax. Let God take care of it. And he will. And we can trust him because he's our God. In Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen to that. So God is for us. And again, who can be against us? So praise God for that. Don't let fear dominate. Don't let fear paralyze. Don't let fear cause a lack of control or trust in God. But respect God, know who he is, walk in him, be his people, accomplish his work, and discover the ways that he would have us to do that. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. And dear Holy Spirit, I pray that we've heard, each one of us, something from you that has caught our attention. Something from you that we'll walk away with, that we'll hold on to, that will encourage us, and that will encourage us to be strong and faithful, encourage us to have peace and solace in our hearts from you. Encourage us to let go of the circumstances that we face and trust you, to be able to know that we can relax in your spirit, that you are in control, that we are in your hands, that we are far more valuable than any sparrow that we see flying, that we are created in your image, and we are the crowning aspect of your creation because of it, and that you pay attention to us with such intensity that you're very aware of every hair on our head, every day, every moment of every day. That should encourage us. And I pray, Father, that our hearts will in turn praise you, worship you, and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.